Jacob 3. It was verse of Jacob 3. Then Jacob begins to talk about the pure in heart. And we have to ask ourselves, what is the pure in heart? Well, based on what we've been studying here and in Jacob 2, and then we will continue studying this chapter, we see that the pure in heart is, first of all, that you are single to your wife, and that your heart is towards her, and that you love her, and that your heart is not split. It's pure. It doesn't have anything else entering into your love, meaning a lust for other women. Your desire should be to having one wife and one wife only. And then also, pure in heart means that your heart is single to your Lord, that your desire is for the kingdom of God and to do what Jesus Christ wants. It's not to do what it is to satisfy the world, to receive the rewards of the world. It's because your heart is pure. All you want is what the Lord wants for you. Your desire is to serve Him, but it's not split between wanting to serve the devil and meaning to serve the world and serve your business and serve your church and serve everything else. It's single to serve. It's not split between anything. And the Lord has told us clearly it can't be split. Your heart must be pure, or you're unable to progress with the Lord. And notice that when you're pure in heart, then when you pray to the Lord, He knows that you're single to Him, and so therefore He'll come and comfort you during your afflictions. Well, notice it says He's going to console you or comfort you during your afflictions, but you're going to have those afflictions, because those afflictions are for your gain and for your strengthening. And you can expect to get those if, again, you're pure in heart, meaning that you are single to doing the will of the Lord. And that is the meaning of that. And also it says that you don't have to worry about your enemies, though. That He'll take revenge on your enemies. He'll take care of your enemies for you. You just keep your mind, again, on Him. And the same way you don't put your mind on your work and on the world and the government and all these other things to serve them, and you keep your mind on Him, you don't have to keep your mind on your enemies either. The Lord will tell you when you have to do something about that, and you can expect Him to also, if you're truly pure in heart and single to the Lord, He'll actually completely protect you from your enemies. Well, in verse 3, it goes on to say that wickedness is not pure in heart. Anytime, anything that enters in to keep you from being single to the Lord is impure in heart. And in this case, it's anything that and the Lord has told you to be one with your wife. And so anything that keeps you, that makes you so that you aren't single to your wife, meaning any kind of a desire to have more wives or to lust after another woman or to be dissatisfied with your wife, this is not your heart, then is not single to her. And anything that enters in and causes that and separates you from your wife or from the Lord, see, these are the things that are indeed wickedness. And they come from the devil. Well, in verse 4, it also gives us an interesting piece of doctrine. It tells us that the righteous are let out because they're not to be a part of the of wickedness. And you can expect to be let out, but not today. Today we're taught by the church later that no, we're to be a part of these people, so the rest of the wicked world, so that we can try and convert them and we can teach them and we can be a good example for them. The Lord has never said that. The Lord has said that He doesn't want you among them. He wants you separated so that you can continue to serve Him. And therefore, again, I point out that it's a righteous desire for you to desire to be let out and live by yourselves with other people of your, we'll say, of your own desire to serve the Lord. In verse 5, it says that the Lamanites were therefore more righteous, because in this all-important thing of choosing, of having your wife and being single to her, they were single to their wives. And they went to work each day, and when they did, they understood that their work was just to take care of their family, but their purpose was taking care of their family. We're not single or pure to our wives or our family. We're constantly thinking about our career and how we're going to get ahead and the power and glory we're going to have and what do other men think of us. And we think of all these things. Our minds are not on, well, we just go to work and we have to go out in the world to take care of our families. We are not pure in our direction. Well, the Lamanites were. They were pure in at least their families. Well, they didn't, due to the iniquities of their fathers, they did not understand Christ. They had not been taught Christ, and they didn't. And so they had built up this hatred that made it so that they refused to listen. But nonetheless, in the things they did understand, meaning their families, they were pure in heart towards them. Their happiness is in their home. It's not out in the world. And they figured out the beginning of being good, and their iniquity, the errors they make, are due to their due to what their fathers have taught them, and the things that have been passed down by wicked traditions. So it says in verse 9, "Quit pointing your finger at them. It's just like today. This is to us. Quit pointing your finger at the as you call them, the Gentiles or the rest of the world. Quit up pointing out, saying, oh, this is the time of the Joseph Smith that they're talking about. Oh, this is all the other churches in the world. Oh, this is someone else. They the same reason they've been taught by the traditions of their fathers, and this has been passed down to them year after year after year. So don't point at the other churches and say the other ones that are in error. Start pointing your finger at yourself and start figuring out how you can repent and how it applies to you. So finally in verses 10 through 12, Jacob just expresses his great love for him and tells him to please now turn back to your families and get rid of your sins and start focusing on how to do the will of Jesus Christ and so that you can build the kingdom of God and put your joy there. And in verses 13 and 14, we learn that this was just a small part of what he told them. That he, in fact, like it says in verse 12, he listed sin after sin, and this is not even the 100th part of what was told to him. And I do believe that, I guess, by verse 14, we're to believe that this was the end of the records or the plates that were made by Nephi, and I guess Jacob will start a new place. I guess that's not totally important to us. What's important to us is what is written on these plates.